Let us pray. Lord Jesus, help me to preach the truth of Easter and its impact on our lives, our families, and the world around us. And bless each of us to hear and believe and to benefit from that impact of bringing us to repentance and forgiveness, freeing us from the power of sin over us. Bless us as we live our lives, and through our lives and words, we pray that others also might receive that same Easter impact for their repentance, forgiveness, and salvation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. You might be familiar with the story, the novel, Robinson Crusoe, story of a man who was shipwrecked on a deserted island. It is an amazing story of both physical, but also, what a lot of people don't know, spiritual survival. Yeah, he survived physically, went out, went around and shot goats. He learned to plant corn, and he ate tortoises. But his story of spiritual survival is the most important part of the book, and it's unfortunately the part that often gets left off by those who retell it. See, little by little, Robinson Crusoe began to realize the impact of God in his life. For a big part of his life, 26 years, he ignored God and he pushed God away and didn't listen to his word. But God kept coming at him in so many different ways. He found a Bible among the shipwreck items and began reading it every day, steadily, little by little. He wrote this. He said this in his journal anyway. When people come to the true sense of things, they will find that deliverance from sin is a much greater deliverance than the deliverance from affliction. When he came to that point in his life, he realized that all the things he had been bemoaning about, living on this deserted island and struggling to survive, were nothing. Nothing compared to the joy and to the goodness of knowing true repentance and true forgiveness and freedom in Christ. Those were the things that Jesus was talking about with his disciples that night, Easter night, when he met with them in the upper room. And Luke gives us that account in the gospel lesson that we just heard a few moments ago. In that lesson, we see several things. I have some notes in the Bible, and in the bulletin. You're welcome to follow along. And I know there's a lot of blanks there. If you don't get them, tonight I'm going to put this sermon up on the internet, and you can go back and check them out, because we'll never get them all filled in the narthex, that's for sure. But to begin with this, Jesus lays out for those disciples, interestingly, a beautiful little summary of the entire Bible. He says, for example, that these things have all been prophesied. That's the first part of the Bible. That's the Old Testament. 39 Hebrew books. And in those 39 Hebrew books of prophecy, God tells us about the waywardness and the brutality of human beings, and yet at the same time, his tremendous love and patience for them and for all the world. We hear, for example, of how Cain murders Abel, how David commits adultery and murders and lies. We see Israel's constant temptation to adopt the immorality and the idolatry of the nations around them. And yet, despite all these broken covenants, again and again and again, God comes back to them with his promises. Like the one in Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Or in Isaiah 53, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he will bear, lift up their iniquities. Or Jeremiah chapter 29, I know the thoughts that I have for you, not thoughts of evil, but of peace, that you might have a future and a hope. The Bible's a book of prophecies that leads us to the second part of the Bible, and that's those four great books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels. This by itself is the main part of the Bible, and we read from one of these Gospels in every weekend service because these are the fulfillment of all those promises in the Old Testament. Jesus' birth from the Virgin Mary. Jesus' life, doing the will of God. What did he do? He healed people in both body and soul. Jesus' death and his resurrection, above all, that we're celebrating in our Easter season. These are the main things of the Bible and of God's Word for us. And we'll talk more about that in a moment as we talk about the Easter impact. But then the third part of the Bible is the rest, Acts to Revelation. This is the proclamation of the gospel of Easter to the whole world. So there we have it, prophecy, fulfillment, and proclamation. Proclamation like we heard in Peter when he went to the temple and he saw this man sitting at the gate of the temple who had been lame from birth. Peter said to him, "I don't have any silver or gold to give you, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk." And the man rose and he went leaping and walking and praising the Lord. Many other examples like that do we find in the rest of the New Testament of the Easter gospel resurrection impact. Before we get to that, though, what is the world like without this Easter impact? It is a world ruled by two things. A world ruled by sin and death. And unfortunately and sadly, we know if we read the headlines and watch any news or live at all in this world, we see there are many who promote this problem of sin. They find new ways every day to break all of God's commandments. They brutally disrespect the will of God, defy the will of God. They plunge headlong into every pleasure and then expect everyone else to pay the consequences of their foolishness. They live by lies and they shout down the truth. And worst of all, they will never, ever, ever be satisfied in this life. How sad it is. There are some who promote. Secondly, there are some who, thankfully, do resist the problem of sin in this world. Through philosophy and psychology and medicine and education, economics, politics, literature, art and music, in all of these ways, people are trying to push back against the destructive power of sin and death in the world. And it's good that people do try to do this, but even with all of that, they can't prevail against the onward march and onslaught of sin and death. The Salk vaccine was a tremendous cure that came into the world to take down the disease, the dreaded disease of polio. And yet with each discovery like that, there seems as though there's just another disease to take its place. The Magna Carta was a beautifully penned document to help transform the way politics occurred, to give people a voice and to bring freedom to the masses. And yet political oppression is still and continuing to be a great problem in all the world today. Even in music, people have tried to push back against this ugliness of our world. And one of my favorite songs, 1962, by Bob Dylan, Blowin' in the Wind, as he addresses the problems of war and social injustice. But I don't know if Bob realized the truthfulness of his lyrics, because the answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. It's still blowing. And it's been blowing ever since. And nobody has been able to find that answer to all of these problems that stem in their root to the problem of sin and death. We cannot prevail by using these human gifts and blessings that God gives us. So now to the great impact of Easter for you personally, for your family, and for the world. Let's think about our own personal lives first of all. In our adult Bible studies, last Sunday we began a new series called Burning Questions. We're taking up big questions that a lot of people ask from time to time in their lives, or they may be asked by friends and neighbors. And the first one last week was simply this question: is there a God? And I know that there are people who sometimes have doubts about these things. They have the haunting feeling that maybe this is all just a big myth. Maybe I'm caught up in something, as I'm being told often by other people, that's not really true. Now, if you think about those doubts that you have, I'd like you to think for a moment about the doubts that the atheists have, the great doubts that haunt them, that creep up from behind them in their life, is this: that without God, all life is ultimately futile. It is a futile life. What's the purpose? What's the point if there's nothing eternal? And so Solomon beautifully says in Proverbs 23, "Do not let your hearts envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. For surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off." The impact of Easter and Jesus rising from the dead personally for all of us is that death does not rule our lives. And we don't have to look at life as simply this hourglass with the sands of time slowly shifting away and slipping away from us. But we see life as a good thing that God gives us, and something that is going to continue, as Jesus proves in his own resurrection from the dead, as he rose from the dead to give us that life that lasts forever. Let's think about our family life and the family impact that Easter makes upon all of us. I don't know if you were listening closely to that gospel reading Pastor Adel shared with us a moment ago, but Jesus, when all these people are stunned at Jesus risen from the dead, he asks them, "You guys have anything to eat?" Can you imagine that? This is why I love the Bible. It is so real, so down to earth. Don't tell me this is a mythology, because in mythologies, people don't do things like that. Here you have the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, who died on the cross, rose again, standing with his disciples. They can't believe what's going on. And he says, "Do you have anything to eat?" And they hand him some broiled fish and honeycomb, and he eats it. Why did this happen? This was Jesus' way of showing his disciples and all of us, this is real. I'm alive. I'm flesh and I'm blood. And yes, I died, but now I live. Jesus grew up in a family too. And Jesus was a carpenter. And Jesus knows the hardships of this life. He understands messy diapers, spilled milk, sharp words, whining, indifference, arguments, contentions, manipulation. He understands and knows about all of that. But this is where the Easter impact helps us in our family life. Some years ago, a member of our church gave me this little gift. It's really kind of interesting. It's a napkin holder, but it has two compartments. One compartment is for your napkins to sit on your kitchen table. The other part is for your bulletin. And I thought about that today as I was working on this sermon, and thought about the Easter impact of Sunday morning, because every Sunday is a celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. To take that bulletin home with you and just lay it right there on the kitchen table, and take the experience that you've had with Jesus here and continue that experience in your homes, so that Jesus is just another member of your family. And that the message of repentance and forgiveness of sins that you receive now continues to go with you in your own families and among your friends and neighbors as well. What a beautiful way for us to realize the impact of Jesus' resurrection in our lives. The last one, the last blank that I have in your little bulletin notes, is the world. The impact of Easter upon the world. This all happened, and Luke points this out very normally and carefully, this all happened of all places in the city of Jerusalem. Now, I don't know what you think of when you hear the word Jerusalem, but I know what I think of. Now, having been there, I really think about it too. I think about strife. I think about contention. I think about hatred. I think about killing. I think about bombs going off. And of all places, in Jerusalem. Do you know what the name Jerusalem means? It means possession of peace. Possession of peace. Of all places, this seems like the most misnamed city on the entire globe. And yet it is not misnamed. Because it is right here in this hotbed of contention, as it always has been. A city that has been fought over and bloodied more times than anyone could probably count. And it was yet here that God chose to bring the true peace that passes understanding into this world. Jesus told the disciples it's going to start here in one of the worst places in the world. It's going to start here. My peace is coming to you, to your families, to your neighbors, to your co-workers, and to the world, to the ends of the earth, and to all nations. We pray that God would indeed grant that Easter impact to all of us, to our families, and to the whole world. Amen. Please rise, and we pray together one of the verses that we just sang. With high delight, let us unite in songs of jubilation. Ye pure in heart, all bear your part. Sing Jesus Christ our salvation, to set us free forever. He is risen, and send to all earth's ends good news to save every nation. Amen.